Sitio, I thirst. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week, the fourth word, with the opening words of the 21st Psalm, which our Savior prayed in its entirety upon the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We saw the Sacred Heart in that same crucible of the cross in which we contemplated him. And we heard him cry out to his Father, for he was abandoned by his Father. And I looked for one that would comfort me, and there was none. It was on account of us, his friends, that he suffered this abandonment by his Father, and what it cost him, and still today, in a large measure, in the tabernacle, at church, but really throughout the week, he is abandoned by his friends. As a rule, we will hasten to anything except to him. Do anything rather than say that daily family rosary. Anything rather than make it to church. We're a little bit like the people of, pardon the Mexican reference again, of Cocoyoc. Father Siordi was telling me how on Holy Saturday, which they call Sábado de Gloria, the Saturday of the Gloria, there's a custom of all things that their carnival should start. But because they still have some Christian sense, everybody waits until the Gloria of Holy Saturday for Lent to be over. They sort of stand around, as it were, with watches, just waiting. Aha, that's it now, the bell. And as soon as the bells start to ring, then the lights go on and the carnival starts and everybody is celebrating Easter. Their thoughts are hardly on the Mass and the Gloria. Ah, poor Jesus. Even by his friends, he is treated that way. Let us speak not even of his foes. This is why he suffers so great and intolerable a thirst. Already, the physical agony. I mean, the burning in the throat and in the mouth. 10 hours with nothing to drink. Every last drop of perspiration already wrung out of his flesh, and now blood has come to take its part. And again, the blood, the stripping of the garments, the pressing of the crown of thorns, the nails. And all of this he endures under the hot sun of the Mideast midday without complaint. And if he does cry out, Sitio, it is only to ensure some further insult, that a sponge of vinegar should be jabbed in his face, and that acrid taste would be the only comfort he would receive in his thirst that day. And thus our Lord expiates for us, his friends, for all of the times we just can't wait to get it over with, or to satisfy this or that appetite, and for all of those who will satisfy their appetite of thirst all too well. But the Savior's thirst is more than physical, as was his suffering in general. It is replete with mystery. It is the thirst of a soul which is devoured with love for his Father and for his sake, for all of mankind. Jesus earnestly desires to accomplish his Father's will. How I am straitened, he says, until it be accomplished. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized. And thus, because it is his Father's will, does he desire to suffer for us. Why then, at Gethsemane, the night before, did he beg, "Father, let this chalice, the chalice overflowing with a bitter draught, let this chalice pass from me"? Why, because it was that he saw that in spite of this all, some souls should still be lost, and that tortured him, body and soul, even more. For the rest, for suffering, he prays, as did one of his greatest saints, the wonderful missionary, St. Francis Xavier, "Still more, O Lord, still more." Now, from his altar, our Lord says the same thing to me. He thirsts for my love, and he thirsts for me to be his helper, his instrument, the apostle of his sacred heart. There is another thirst our Lord has. He is forgotten, but as a most loving father, he does not want to see the least of his children forgotten. And so he will beg some alms from you adults for the sake of your children. I mean in the way of kindness and some attention and good example and timely discipline. And also from us who are wealthy, some alms for the poor. Who thinks of giving money to the poor anymore today? Yet our Lord suffers in each one of them. The adorer of his sacred heart should strive to feel in every respect the thirst which his Master suffered during those hours of mortal agony. Alas, dear Lord, what am I in comparison with what thou hast a right to see in me? When our Lord looks at our souls, he sees at best a glass of lukewarm water or a few drops coming out of the faucet that's gone leaky again, and nothing more. And our Lord desires that there should be a torrent flowing from our hearts and our lives, and all that we do, done for pure love of him. But all we manage most days is a paper cup of lukewarm water, or maybe a few drops in the bathroom sink. Self-love it is that restrains me in some very, very narrow circle of my own personal interest. And I cannot bear the slightest slight or disagreement or hurt to my feelings or annoyance which I may have to suffer without striking out again. In place of all of the virtues for which our Lord thirsts, that I should, if not thirst for, at least desire, pray for, in some good sense, in the place of all of that, I offer thee, dear Lord, but a drop or two of my heart in your waiting for its all. I thirst, our Lord says, and so do you, but usually for the wrong things. I thirst. Tonight, you may slake his thirst. Ask the Sacred Heart to show you how. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.